here I was devouring the word, but I kind of took everything I heard because I just didn't really know any better. And I've got to be honest with you, I was taught some junk. Really, here and a lot of places, New Jersey. I mean, I heard some junk. And over the years, the Lord began to show me through personal encounters, this is wrong, reject it. This is wrong, reject it. Personal encounters, he would take me through certain teachings that certain these very, very good people, I mean, they were awesome, but he said, as far as this part of their teaching, take it out, throw it away. In other words, spit out the bones and eat the chicken. John, eat the chicken, spit out the bones. And to this day, I hope you hear me and never forget it. You don't throw away a Bible teacher because they give you a bone every now and then. Eat what God has shown them and spit out the bones. And every Bible teacher will have something they probably will get wrong. Don't flush them. Find out what God is really telling you through them. And I can tell you, I can name names. I'm not going to name names, but you can talk to me about it sometime. There are certain times I remember living on we were living on off of Spruce Street. What was the name of that? Berkshire Place. I will never forget. I had a little study down that little house basement. And this teaching came across by a teacher that I really, really respected. I mean, really respected. Read a lot of his stuff. But it was this teaching that somehow Jesus went to hell as a sinner, as a hell, suffering. I mean, and the Lord said to me as clear as day, that is not me. And he showed me, boom, 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 right out of the scripture. And I found out after studying it, that particular Bible teacher, who I was crazy about, basically lifted that teaching from somebody else almost word for word. So he didn't get it by revelation. He didn't. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, literally lifted that teaching word for word from another person, put it out as a book, because that was just what they did. They just made incredible books, and they were an amazing Bible teacher. But the Lord said, no, he did not do that. When he went to hell, he went as the victor. He suffered in his flesh. When he said it was finished, he meant it. When he breathed his last, he finished his job dying. He did not spiritually die. Didn't. How could Jesus spiritually die? He's God. He died as a man. Okay? So, I mean, so this was just, it wasn't their main focus of that Bible teacher. So I was like, spit that bone in the trash can and praise God, enjoy the meat. And to this day, I will tell you, listen to that Bible teacher, learn from them, but spit that bone out, please. It's just not part of their revelation. It's not a part of what God really gave them to impart to you. So it's really, really important. I got off on a rabbit trail. Let's kill the rabbit now. But I think it's important to understand this because here's why. I believe that God has taken us. We got saved very young, right? I was young, and I didn't know any better, but over the years, God imparted wisdom to me to learn how to discern some of these bad teachings so that now that we can impart it to a new generation, they will not have to go through the stupid stuff we went through. You won't have to go through stupid stuff I went through if I do my job. Yeah, amen. Hear what I'm saying? This is so important. Amen. Because when I got saved and filled with the Spirit, I mean, our church in Jersey, we were going to pastors in the town saying, help us. And they all said, we can't. We don't know what's going on. Everybody getting healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and talking. We have no idea. We have no grid for what God is doing in your life. Leave us and leave me alone. We had nobody that wanted to take us on. I mean, I had meetings when people were getting delivered from demons in the services and people were spontaneously preaching scripture they never read. And I was like, well, I don't know what to do. Well, what do you do now? It was when we had revival in 2000. I didn't know what to do. When God shows up, the best thing you can do is let God be God and get out of the way. And fortunately, Ken Gary was here, and Ken had already been through that stuff, and so he kind of had a little more experience. God brought him here for that reason. And man, we saw Holy Spirit, angel visitation. We saw things happen here that you can't even dream of, much less think of. God started doing stuff, and we were in hot revival for that short season for a reason. But God understood, and he was imparting things to us that you cannot experience by reading a book or by going to a seminar. It only comes from impartation from the Holy Spirit and directly from God. He may use someone, but it's the Holy Spirit who speaks to you. Amen. There are times I sat in anointed meetings and God was speaking to me on stuff that the speaker was not even talking about. I was just getting downloads here and downloads there. That's why sometimes I'll go to a place where God is so God can just talk to me. And it may not be what the guys up there talking about. That's all right. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. I just want to hear the Lord. And I feel that God is raising up a generation of wise people who've been down the road a little bit and have had time to look at some of these teachings handed down to you. I'm going to be honest about one of them. I remember getting teachings about how the black race was of the cursed Ham. Come on now. How many of you have heard that somewhere in some kind of church around here? I did. And that wasn't a big deal here. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't here. We never preached that here. But it was in books that I read. It was in books that people read talking about how the Ham was the cursed race. The African race is cursed. Come on. That was big. And it was in the crazy, Megan's right, you come across it and you're like, what is this? People take the scripture and they teach these teachings. God needs to raise up a group of mature men and women. And I believe he's going to impart wisdom to a new generation that's going to have an astounding wisdom for their age. They're going to be the opposite. They're going to have a wisdom that's going to make them seem like they're 100 years old because God's going to give them downloads. And they're going to walk into places with people with 10 more degrees, college degrees than you, and 10 more, 100 more years of experience. And you're going to have the answer to that situation because God will have you visions and dreams. Do you realize that Daniel solved the problems of the leading kingdom of the world by interpreting a dream? Something totally not what you do in this world. Amen. Like if someone came to me at the hospital and Jeanine says, boy, there's this really good doctor there. He doesn't have any degrees in medicine. He never went to school, but he had a really good dream about having surgery one time. I'd say, forget it. Right?
He had a real good dream about brain surgery.
Right? You don't want that, right? That's the world, right? But God has created a kingdom where the answers come from the mouths of babes. Because it's God that has his way and wisdom and knowledge, okay? And I want you to see one thing that I was taught about this passage is that the nine gifts of the Spirit were divided into three groups. How many of you remember that? Three groups, nine gifts of the Spirit, and some groups were knowledge groups, some groups were power, signs and powers, and one was something else. I want you to see the nine gifts of the Spirit as nine expressions of wisdom. Nine expressions of wisdom. And I want you to see the seven-branched candlestick in the temple as wisdom. Seven spirits of wisdom or seven aspects of wisdom. And there's nine gifts of the Spirit, seven. Okay, but if you look in Zechariah 4, it'll show you the seven-branched candlestick with two olive trees on either side. And I'm not going to break it down now because I don't have time. But I believe that I want us to start seeing the nine gifts of the Spirit as nine aspects of wisdom. And I'm going to go very fast. Well, what's the first gift of the Spirit, guys? In verse 4. Wisdom. That is a hint by the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul saying, hey, this is a list of wisdom, but I'm going to use different words for it. The first gift of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, how did the young people get their wisdom in Daniel? Who gave it to them? God gave it to them. They were charismata, gifts. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just say gifts of wisdom by the Holy Spirit. And the first one is wisdom. Second one is wisdom, called knowledge. The third one is what? Faith. And I say to you that faith is wisdom. Faith is an expression of wisdom. What is faith? Trusting in truth. Faith is trusting in truth. Truth is expressed to you, so it actually causes you to trust it completely. Right? And the saddest person is someone who believes a lie. But believing a lie is not faith. Bible faith is trusting truth. Unbelief is trusting a lie. And we believe the truth. So it's a wisdom word. Faith is a wisdom word. I want you to hear me. Faith is a wisdom word. It's very, very important. Faith is not a thing. Faith is not a force. Faith is not an effort of yours. Some people, when I talk to them about faith, they kind of grit their teeth. I'm going to believe this. That's not faith. I'm going to believe it. I don't care what anything. I'm going to believe. Come on, pray again. No. If that were the case, we'd all be groaning and bursting blood vessels every time we pray. But Jesus walked up to someone and said, be healed. Walked away. Told the centurion, you can go now. Your daughter's, you know, servant's healed. Like a child. So faith is wisdom. What else do we have? Healing. Now, I'm going to show you this before you leave, okay? Healing is wisdom. Amen. All right, I'm going to show you this. Working of miracles is the word there is dunamis, not semion or signs. It's saying to another, power. And we just read in 1 Corinthians 1:22, right? Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So power is an expression of wisdom in action. And healing is an expression of wisdom in action. And then prophecy. We all saw that. Dreams and visions. Prophetic words. Wisdom. And then how about discerning of spirits? Wisdom. Right? I want to have the ability to know the difference between a spiritual manifestation, whether it's of God or not of God. And we're going to see more spiritual manifestations as the last days come. As this final day comes, we're going to see more spiritual manifestations that are deceitful. And we're going to have to know the difference between a miracle that's produced by Satan and a miracle produced by God. Because there will be more people that will be empowered with supernatural deceit. It's out. It's happening. Then, last but not least, interpreting languages and speaking in other languages. Now, how many of you have met somebody who is really, really good at picking up languages? I mean, I've known people that could speak easily 7 to 8 languages just like that. They just switch, boom, 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 right between them. And to me, that's a wisdom, isn't it? You can go, they go in the room, and you're like going, ¿Cómo está? Muy bien. You know, hey, tú. And they're like, they hear it for a few minutes, Spanish. Right? No problem. They just flow in it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Well, there is a Holy Spirit gift of language. Holy Spirit gift. And there's a Holy Spirit gift of interpreting languages. Amen. And I believe that, and I thank God, and I want everybody here to speak in heavenly language. Amen. If you haven't spoken in heavenly language yet, you need to, because God will give you interpretation. There are times when you will pray and not understand with your natural mind what's going on, but the Holy Spirit will give you understanding of what you're saying, and you haven't even said anything that makes any sense to you. And I think it's very, very important. Okay? Now, I want to show you quickly the connection between healing and wisdom. And it's found in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to start with verse 10. Okay? So go to Matthew 13. And I'm going to leave you with this because I really don't want you to fall asleep on me. I really want you to just catch this. And thank you so much for listening. And listening to this teaching and allowing me to kind of open my heart to you about this, because I feel like there's going to be more, and my book is going to have a lot of some of this in here, especially this thing about wisdom. Okay, now, verse 10. Why do you speak to them in parables? Now, we know it's the parable of the sower, right? It is the parable that we learn out of all the parables. It's the parable of the sower, the soil, the parable of the soil. The soil, the sower, the reaper, all of the seed parables. All right? And Jesus, Matthew, specifically marks this parable as the key. Jesus said to them, if you get this one, you get them all. That's what he told them in the book of Mark, chapter 5. You get this one, you got all the parables. If you don't get this one, how can you understand any of them? So the purpose of the parables was not to make Jesus a better speaker. He did not tell stories to be like a better public speaker. Actually, he told parables because that was prophetic wisdom. Did you know the word parable goes back to the Hebrew? And it means a riddle. Jesus spoke in riddles. Does anybody know a good riddle? Anybody? I'm just curious because I don't carry a lot of riddles in my head. What's black? Right. What's black and white and red all over? A book or a newspaper. That's a riddle. What? All right, say that again.
It's a classic riddle. What walks on 4 legs in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and then 3 in the evening? Man. I'm the baby, in the middle of his life, 2 legs, and becomes an old man, got a cane. It's the riddle of the Sphinx.
Yeah, see? Wow. So the riddle is an expression of wisdom, and Jesus spoke to the people in riddles. The word parable in the Greek corresponds to the word riddle in Hebrew. And it immediately, here's the thing about a riddle that makes it so crazy. How many of you could easily picture what he was saying? Y'all know 2 legs. Y'all know 3 legs. Y'all know 4. You know what I'm saying? So it uses images that you can easily see, but you still can't get it. Immediately you're going, huh? First reaction to a riddle is, what? See? So it's actually trying to initially tell you don't understand something. It immediately deals with a know-it-all attitude of people. immediately. Guess what? You may have gone to seminary. You may have read a lot of books, but you do not know basic stuff. And that's what he was trying to tell these people. Sower went out to sow. Everybody could see a sower. Everybody could picture seed. Everybody could think of the thorns. Everybody knows what a thorn. If I say thorn, can you see it? Of course you can. Rocky soil, can you see it? Of course you can. Everybody sees seeds. But Jesus was not using that as a preaching tool to be a good speaker. He was actually using it to confuse people or to make people realize that they don't know anything. Does that make sense? It's the opposite of being a good speaker, almost, wouldn't you think? I want to make sure that you don't get what I'm saying unless God gives it to you. It's the opposite of being a great communicator. All right, now I want you to see this. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So the purpose of the parable is to give you knowledge of mystery. Isn't that what Daniel's four boys got? It was given to them wisdom. So the purpose of the parable of the sower is to make you understand something. To make you have wisdom. That's why he tells the parables. To have a wisdom that can only come from God and not from man. He says, for the one who has wisdom, more will be given to it. So you have to have the first breakthrough of revelation knowledge before you can get any more. I'm sorry, you can't just, with Jesus, you cannot test out of the first three courses and pick up the third year. It won't work. You've got to enter in through Jesus. And then God adds to it. So for the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance of what? Wisdom. This is not about money, guys. I wish it was. But it's not. It's about wisdom. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. In other words, you realize, hey, I don't have it. This parable makes no sense to me. All I see is seed and the ground. Duh. So why are you telling me this? So even whatever you have will be gone. And that's why I speak to them. Because seeing they don't see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, their case, the prophecy is a fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart wisdom and turn, and I heal them. The word for healing there is healing. It is not sozo. It is not save. It is the word for heal. And so here's the deal. This scripture is about healing. Wisdom and healing are made equal to each other. And the key to healing is wisdom. It says God won't heal you unless you get it. Interesting. I never used to see the scripture like this before. But God said, it's time for you to look at what I really wrote. Well, it's about healing, and it's wisdom. And so the gift of healing actually is an expression of wisdom. Because it's through wisdom that you are healed. It says, if you hear, understand, turn, I will heal. Now, I want to give you a practical expression before we go. I have been in prayer meetings, for example, when we have prayed for people to be healed, but there was little wisdom in those prayers. you know?
They weren't healed.
People will spit out the first thing that comes to their mind. They don't hear from God. They just spit it out. And I'm not saying anything about anybody in this room. You got me? I talk about me. Remember, all these fingers heading this way. Just one this way. The rest going this way. There are times when I have opened my mouth and it has not been wisdom. And salvation is healing. And healing is salvation. Because that's a whole nother message right here. And that's why there's such a strong tie. Why did Jesus heal so many people in his ministry? Why? Just to get a crowd? Was that why he did it? Just because he just liked seeing people grow limbs and jump because they could, you know what I mean? I think it's because of the connection between sin and sickness. And sin means you don't have any understanding. Your mind is blank. You're in bondage to, you know, an unbelief. And that's why healing is so important. We have seen in this church an upswing in the gifts of healing. And I believe that God is making us wiser as we see more healing. If that were the case, then Jesus would have healed everybody the same way. Wouldn't he say, listen, now, if you want to see everybody healed, say this, this, and this. And just do that every time and it'll work, right? But did he do that way? No. It's like he did some things there. We see some principles there, obviously. But he did not give us a formula. He gave us wisdom. And wisdom is compared to the rainbow around the throne of God. And there are many colors of that rainbow. It's the many gloried, faceted glory of God. It's like the colors of the rainbow. And you just have to know which color to use. Artists would know that. This is what we need to use in this situation. You just pick. Or if you're a musician, or if you're any kind of person, a tradesperson or a doctor, you just know what to do in that situation. If this is the one I need to use, I'm just not going to just go to rote memory. It's just not going to work. Healing is wisdom. And sometimes I feel like if we put our focus on wisdom, then I believe we're going to see more healing. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying less healing, and I'm not going to stop talking about healing. All right, guys, that is not going to happen. We're going to talk about healing. We are going to pray for healing. We're going to pray for anybody who needs healing. Got it? That is not going to change. But what I'm saying is that wisdom is the path to healing. And salvation is healing in maybe more than we realize. More than we realize. I'm blown away. I have never seen this parable as the key to healing. Have you? I was like, Lord, why are you using this parable and the whole concept of parables for healing? I just was wrestling with the Lord. I was like, God, what are you trying to tell us? And maybe you'll have some insight you can share with me. But I believe there's healing through understanding and repentance and wisdom and a turning to the Lord, a turning away and rejecting of what doesn't truly matter. And so I just wanted to finish off the year with this word. It's been in me now for a while, and I've started writing about it. And I feel like the Lord's just given me some fresh word about the way we look at some of these parables. And I don't see them like I was taught. I went, wait a minute. This is not what this parable, what I've heard this my Christian life, and this isn't right. This isn't it. This is not about this. This is about wisdom. And I believe that we're going to see more healings, and we're going to see people that are wise. It says those will be, what is it? Those will be wise when they're in their God, will be strong and do exploits in the last days. That's in Daniel. It's all about wisdom. And I believe God's raising up an army of prayer warriors. And I believe that the other facet is prayer. And as we pray, God's going to give us wisdom. And as we get wisdom, we're going to pray. And we're going to see miracles. We're going to see incredible. We saw some incredible miracles. John mentioned it this year. Wow, what miracles. Healing. Amen.